Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 14. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Amen. And we know the Lord well. Bless his own word to our hearts today. I want to ask our brother, Mr. John Domingan, please, to come with the announcement. Dear Father, we do thank thee for the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that his name is a name which is above every other name. And his name is precious. His name has been exalted and will be exalted in this world of ours. Bless us today in the word of God. Speak to every heart. Encourage our hearts. Build us up in our most holy faith. Lord, you know each and every one of us, our temptations, our trials, our struggles. And Lord, we thank thee that the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Speak to us today, and may thy word have free course in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Now let us turn together in this portion of scripture that we read a few moments ago in Luke's Gospel and the chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and the two verses that we want to think upon today are verses 21 and 22. Luke 11 and verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ here is the speaker. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. Now at Christmas time we love to sing, Peace on earth and mercy mild. And of course these are wonderful words, and they are true. But nevertheless, that's just one aspect of the truth of God's word. Because we know that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ not only involved peace for those that put their trust in him, but it's also, his birth was also about warfare and conflict in this world. And we know today that there is a warfare, There's a conflict between God and Satan, between truth and error. And that has been the conflict of every age and of every generation. A war, a conflict between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this warfare is a warfare that every child of God experiences from time to time. Sometimes we imagine that the Christian life should be all plain sailing, that we should perhaps have an easy time. Well, of course, that is not true. And we soon discover that. Every child of God discovers sooner or later that we are caught up in a warfare, in a conflict, and it is real. We experience temptations and we experience trials and difficulties. You see, sometimes we are inclined to forget that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not against human forces. But the Bible tells us that it is against principalities and it is against powers. It is against the forces of darkness. So our warfare is a warfare with the devil. It's a spiritual warfare. Our warfare is a warfare with darkness and with spiritual forces. And it is something that every child of God experiences from time to time. In fact, on a daily basis, we experience that warfare. Now, of course, it is a war that it is impossible for any man to be neutral in. Note what the Lord said in verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. No man is neutral or can be neutral in this warfare. A man is either with Jesus Christ or he is against him. He is either saved or he is unsaved. He is either a child of light or a child of darkness. But neutral we cannot be. So it is even here in our congregation today. You're either with Christ or you're against him. Now, no man can be with the Lord Jesus Christ and numbered among his redeemed until he is saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. No man is a Christian, is a believer, a child of God, until he is made a partaker of that divine nature. And once we become partakers of that divine nature, that divine life, we become members of the family of God and of the household of faith. And thank God then we can say that we're on the Lord's side. With a hymn that we sing, who is on the Lord's side? Well, only those that are redeemed by his precious blood and born again of the Spirit of God. So Jesus said, here's a warfare. And it is impossible for men to be neutral. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. The Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking about a warfare. He is speaking here about the forces of darkness. And he, in verses 21 and verses 22, he is speaking here about the strong man armed that keepeth his palace. His goods are in peace. He is speaking, of course, about Satan. He is preaching here about our great adversary. And he is called the one that is the strong man armed. He's not weak. He is not feeble. But he is a mighty force. But, of course, he is not mightier than God. We often pray in our prayer meeting, as I'm sure you do, that Satan to Jesus must bow. But nevertheless, he is a mighty foe. And he is one that opposes the people of God. He accuses the brethren, and he is our adversary. Jesus referred to him as the strong man armed that keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace. We know today that God has his kingdom. We sing about it continually, about the kingdom of God. In fact, it's in that great prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. What are we to pray for? We are to pray for his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. God has his kingdom today. But Satan also has a kingdom. He has forces as well. He has his followers. You're either in that kingdom today, in the kingdom of God, rejoicing in his salvation and saved by his grace, or you're still in darkness and still in the kingdom of the devil. It's either one or the other. But a man cannot be neutral. Jesus said when it came to this warfare. But we want to think today about the weapons, some of the weapons that Satan uses for to keep his kingdom in subjection. Note what the Lord said here in verse 21. Yes, he is the strong man armed that keepeth his palace. His goods are in peace. Jesus said that his goods are in peace. And that's the way the devil likes things. He likes to keep his kingdom. And he likes to keep his subjects. And he likes to keep them subjected unto him and to keep them in peace. The Bible today speaks about a false peace. There is the peace of God that passes all understanding. But there is also a counterfeit peace. You see, many people think today that all is well. They have a little bit of religion. They may go to church. They may be members of a church. And they say, well, we're Christian, I'm as good as the next man. And everything is all right. And if anyone deserves to get into heaven, surely it is me. And that's just how the devil likes to keep people. He is the angel of light, or of darkness rather. And he has prophets of darkness. He has ministers of darkness as well, as we shall see in a moment. And his whole plan is this, is just for to keep his own domain. For to keep his own kingdom, to keep it securely, and to hold his palace, and to keep his goods in peace. We want to think about some of those weapons that he uses then. And the first one he uses is pride. It was pride, of course, that turned Lucifer, the angel, into Satan. I'm sure we're all aware today, and we all know that there was a time when Lucifer, the bright one, the shining one, was in heaven. He was probably one of the archangels, a leader. But the Bible tells us that he was cast out of heaven, and he was cast down to this earth. Because, you see, he rebelled against the Almighty God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted God's throne, and he wanted to rule, and he wanted to be worshipped. And the word of God tells us that pride was found in him, and he was cast out of glory, and he was cast down to this world of ours. You remember the words of the prophet Isaiah in that passage in Isaiah chapter 14 that describes Lucifer and his fall. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now that's what he desired. To exalt his throne above the stars of God. He says in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wasn't content, you see, to be the creature. He wanted to be like the Creator. And he desired to be worshipped. He wanted to be God and to take God's place. Why was that? What went wrong? What happened? It's because his heart was filled with pride. That's the only thing that can account for it. His heart was charged and filled with pride.
I will be like the Most High. I will ascend up, I will have my throne above the stars of God, above God himself. And God took him in hand, and there was war in heaven, and he was cast out. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Satan came to him, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. You remember what he said to him? There in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, all these things will I give if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And that's what the devil desires today. He desires people to worship him. He wants to take away the worship from the Almighty God. He wants to take away that devotion, that allegiance from the God who sits on the throne today. And he, the creature, wants to be worshipped. And one of the great weapons that he uses today in his armory to keep his goods in peace is pride. Pride. But you know the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, down to this earth of ours. And how different the Savior was. In his walk and in all his ways. Doesn't the Bible tell us that for a time he laid aside his glory? You remember that tremendous passage in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2 and in the verse 5 we read these words. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Just think of that today. Jesus Christ, the very image of God himself, the express image of his glory, God manifest in the flesh, the one who created this world of ours and everything in it, and who upholds everything. And yet we read in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a blow to human pride. What a defeat this was to the pride of the devil. And the pride of the human heart, equal with God. And yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember in that passage there in Isaiah chapter 14 where the devil said, he said, I will ascend up onto the throne even of the Most High God. I will be like God. I want to take his place. But you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. What did the devil want to accomplish? What did he seek? He sought his own will. What I want, what I will. To be like the Most High and to take his throne and to exalt himself. But Jesus humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, there when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, he says, Father, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. And I say today, men and women, he is a strong man that keepeth his palace and his goods are in peace. And one of the mighty weapons that the devil uses today is pride, because pride was found in him. To keep his subjects and to keep all in subjection under in him. And we all have a battle with pride, haven't we? No matter who we are. There's no point in us trying to deny it. Look, like the fellow said one time, he said, I'm very proud of my humility. But we all have a difficulty with pride. Sometimes we imagine that it's only certain people that can be proud. Oh, if a man is rich, we say, and wealthy, oh, that man must be tempted with pride. It's only the famous people. It's only the people that are high up can surely be tempted in this way. But you know, a man can be as poor as a church mouse and his heart be filled with pride. And it's something that we all have to be careful of. It's something we all have to safeguard against. Pride. The book of Proverbs tells us this in chapter 8 and verse 13. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. There's many a man knows he ought to be saved. He knows he ought to come to Jesus Christ and put his trust in him. He knows the truth. Ah, but it may be that there's just this old thing of pride welling up within him. What will people say? What will my church say? And he looks at himself. And he begins to weigh up things, and he looks at his respectability. He looks at his background. He looks at his good living. And his morality and all the rest. And these things in and of themselves are good. Good living and morality and all the rest. But these things cannot save a man. And the Lord Jesus Christ struck a deadly blow to pride and to arrogancy when he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of that cross. Out of those ivory palaces, out of glory, down into this dark, sinful, cursed world, making himself of no reputation whatever. And in order for a man to be saved and come to Christ, he must humble himself. And isn't that difficult for every one of us? Ah, yes, the sinner must come down. He must, as we would say, he must get down off his high horse. He must come as a sinner to Jesus and humble himself at the foot of that cross and say, like the publican there in the temple, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I am undone, unclean, worthy of nothing but death, worthy of hell and a lost eternity, but God, be merciful to me. Yes, Jesus said he's a strong man, the strong man armed that keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace. Pride is one of the weapons. But there's something else as well that he uses. He uses fear. We are told that fear is one of the strongest emotions that any man can experience. I suppose every one of us in the church, most people in the church today, we, at one time or another, we have found ourselves in a situation in a corner where we're really feared. Fear is a strong emotion. Oh, what panic sets in. In fact, it has an effect even upon our bodies. It's as if the whole, all of our lives were draining away from us. And fear grips us. And fear sets in. There's physical fear. But there's a mental fear and there's a spiritual fear as well. And the Bible has much to say about that. And Satan uses fear. The book of Hebrews, we read about the fear of death. People who all their lifetime were in subject to the fear of death. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today in the congregation. And maybe there's a great fear in your heart and upon your life, the fear of death. How are you going to face death? It may be something that you have been thinking about. But you see, this world doesn't want to really think about death. I'm not saying that we should be walking around morbid every day thinking about dying or death, but nevertheless, it is a fear, and it's a fear that people puts right to the back of their minds. They don't want to think about facing death. Men don't want to think about eternity. What comes after death? And the Bible tells it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And man will do anything to try and distract his thoughts. But you know he can't. It's always there. It's always there. Fear is one of the weapons that the devil uses. And he uses that continually. You see, all false religions today, and they are controlled by fear. Whether it be Romanism or the false cults, no matter what it is. And fear has a crippling effect upon the human heart. But the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated fear. You remember the words of these tremendous words of the Apostle Paul when he was writing to Timothy. In 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy it is rather, and in the chapter 1 in the verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound mind. He says in verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." He says there's something that has been made very evident by the coming and the appearing of the Son of God. What is it? "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel." What a wonderful statement. He doesn't mean that death has been taken off of the scene. He doesn't mean it's abolished in that sense. But he means this. He means that death has been made ineffective. That's as if the edge has been taken off of the sword. And fear, the fear of death for the believer, is something that has been abolished. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Because the psalmist said, "Why? Thou art with me." And for the Christian, for the child of God, it has been rendered useless. But until Jesus Christ came, and until he suffered upon that cross on Calvary, and shed his blood and made atonement for sins, the devil was able to take this fear like a weapon and use it. And he wielded this weapon over the lives of men and women, over this human race of ours, to keep people down, to keep them in subjection, to keep them in darkness, to fill their lives with dread. As the hymn writer put it, "Nothing for to cheer the tomb. Nothing for to cheer the tomb." And the unbeliever today has nothing whatever for to cheer the tomb. All is hopelessness. All is fear and all is gloom. It's one of the weapons that the strong man armed keeps, to keep in subjection men and women in this world. But Jesus Christ has abolished death. He has overcome it. Just a couple of weeks ago at Easter time, we sing, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." He arose, and the grave is empty today. There's an empty tomb. And every child of God, thank God, will rise from the grave. The dead, the unsaved, will rise too. But the children of God will rise unto life eternal. Jesus Christ has overcome every weapon of the devil. He has overcome fear. He has defeated the fear of death. He has struck a deadly blow to the pride of man. He humbled himself. But there's something else that the devil uses as well. He uses lies. The Bible tells us that he's a liar. In John 8 and verse 44, Jesus said that he was a liar and the father of it. The father of lies. But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he came to bear witness to the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God there's such a thing as the truth today. The truth. You ask me, how can I get at it? How can I get at the truth? How can I in this world know the truth? And here it is. Here's the truth. It's the truth of God's word, the Bible. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the devil is a liar. Jesus said he was a liar and the father of lies. And if the devil is telling you today in this church that you're all right, you don't need this salvation business, and you don't need to be born again, you don't need to repent of your sins, and you're just fine just as you are, that's the lie of the devil. That's the lie of the devil. And that's the problem today with our society. That's the problem with our country today. It's believing the lie of the devil. And you know something else? The devil's lies often come in the religious form, in the religious shape as well. Let me just read to you one verse from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 13. Here's what the apostle says. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What a statement. He says they're false. And they are deceitful workers. But he says they're able to transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're making out that they are like the very apostles of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 14, he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light. If we didn't read that in the Bible, if it wasn't in God's word, we could hardly credit that. How deceitful the devil is. How crafty, how subtle Satan is. You tell me today you don't believe in the devil? You say that's all right for old people and for a former generation, but we're so with it today. We're so modern today. We have our computers, we have our science and all the rest. But I want to tell you on the authority of this Bible that the devil is real. He is the strong man armed that keepeth his palace in peace. And that's the way he wants to keep it. And one of the ways that he keeps it today is by lies, religious lies. He doesn't care about people showing an interest in religion as long as they're dead. As long as they're dead. He's not even worried about people saying formal prayers. As long as they don't get too excited and pray in the name and through the blood and by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's a liar. That's one of the weapons. But the Holy Spirit of God always reveals the truth. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of God's word gives light. The entrance of God's word gives light. He's a strong adversary, isn't he? And a subtle one, and a proud one. But oh, bless God today that the Lord Jesus Christ has met him on the battlefield. He has disarmed him. As we read in that verse, only when a stronger, comes. He is able to displace him, and he is able to put him to flight. And Jesus Christ has met him and defeated him, and he has put him to flight. We read in Colossians that he made an open show of him, triumphing over the devil and over all his works in his death upon the cross. Are you saved today? You cannot be neutral. You're either with Christ or you're against him. You may not say you're against him. You may not act like as if you're against him. But in your mind and in your heart, you're saying, no. You're not going to rule over me. You're not going to come into my life or into my home. No. You can't be neutral. Dear soul, today, listen, as we close our meeting, the best life in the whole world is the Christian life. It's not easy. It's a fight. But it's the best. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to go with us. Give him your heart today. That's the first thing the Lord looks for. My son, it says in Proverbs, give me thine heart. Whatever conquers the mind conquers the man. Give him your mind, give him your heart today, and you'll never regret it. Our time is gone. Let us bow in a word of prayer. And as we bow in prayer today, if you're not saved, oh, look to him. He'll save you. Give you life eternal. Maybe there's some believer, some Christian today, and you're getting it hard. We all do. In the battle, we fail at times. Flesh is weak. Oh, but look afresh at Calvary. Look just now in you to the Son of God. Ask him to cleanse you and to fill you with the Spirit. He hasn't forgotten you. He'll not forsake you. He understands. He knows. Follow on after the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, bless your word to our hearts. Remember as each one here today, we thy people fill us with the Spirit of God and with power from on high. And help us to take up our cross and follow you, Lord. For those that know thee not, bless them, and may they surrender their all to Christ at this very moment. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.